And good afternoon to you. This program is Live and Local. It's your connection to local performances. And on today's program, coming up, I will be talking with one of the members of a band out of Scotland called Manran, who combine traditional and contemporary elements. And they are going to be among the many performers at the Aranfesh Peoria, Irish Festival in Peoria. Even though this is a Scottish band, we'll address that later. It's running this Friday through Sunday at the Peoria Riverfront. Lots and lots of groups involved, and I'll be talking with some on tomorrow's show and on Friday as well. But first, we'll be having a conversation with Gus Gordon at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield. He is directing and producing their current gala musical, which is called Gypsy. That is often called the quintessential Broadway overture, or really the greatest of all Broadway overtures. Probably depends who you talk to. It belongs to the musical Gypsy. And that show is being produced by the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield. It is their 2013 gala musical. And it's running Friday through Sunday, and then next weekend, Friday through Sunday as well. And I have with me on the phone the director and producer for that production of Gypsy, Gus Gordon, at the Hoagland Center. Gus, thanks for joining us on the show.
Kevin, thank you very much. And that overture is really what attracted me to the show initially. I agree with you 100%. In my opinion, that is the best overture for a Broadway musical ever written. When that trumpet starts playing, oh my gosh, it just goes into the stratosphere and sends chills up and down your spine. Just great. Great theater, great, great music.
So it's a good chance to say that this production will have a full orchestra, and I hope you got some good trumpet players.
Most definitely, and yes to both. Yes, we've got a full orchestra with strings and a great brass section, some really outstanding trumpet players, Kellen Fant and Aaron Duncan, and they do a fabulous job. And we're really looking forward to this show. This is our gala production. We do a lot of shows throughout the year, but this is the biggie that you do as a fundraising production. And we always try our very best. We always put a lot of effort and thought behind everything we do. But this one, we think about it a little longer. And we you know, get a lot of support to do it. And Gypsy, I thought, was the perfect show. We're approaching our 10th anniversary as an entity, the Hoagland Center for the Arts. We opened December 31st, 2003. So we're not quite at our 10th anniversary yet. But we wanted to do a big theatrical story, a big theatrical show, and there's nothing more theatrical to me than Gypsy.
What makes it so?
Well, it is the story of a backstage mother and her two kids, and everything is set, at least in our version, in my mind, in a vaudeville theater. So even when they're in a house or a hotel or somewhere else in the middle of the desert, we're still having it take place in a vaudeville theater. We have the footlights. We have sandbags hanging down from the rafters. We show the complete bare stage so people can see our fly system where we raise and lower the curtains. They can see all the exposed lights. It's just a wonderful celebration of vaudeville, burlesque, entertainment in general. Of course, the story follows Rose Hovick and her two daughters, June and Louise, and it's a real-life story. And Rose just pushed relentlessly her two daughters into showbiz because she secretly, or not so secretly, wanted to be a star herself but missed the opportunity. So she is going to make her daughters stars by hook or by crook. In real life, June, baby June, grew up to be June Havoc, changed the name from Hovick to Havoc. And then Louise, of course, became the title character Gypsy, or Gypsy Rose Lee, one of the biggest celebrity stars of her generation. She became a stripper, never really showed too much, more like a shoulder strap dropped, or, you know, she'd hide behind a powder puff or balloons or something. But she became not only you know, a burlesque star, but she became kind of the darling of the smart set. All the intellectuals in New York just adored her. The gangsters in New York, in Chicago, adored her. And she was a very smart, shrewd lady, even with no formal education. And later in life, she became, you know, a television host and a celebrated author and just a bon vivant in New York City. And, you know, it's kind of like the celebrity we would have today that really has is known for not having done a lot. But as opposed to today's celebrities that are dumb as rocks, Gypsy Rose Lee was a smart cookie.
You have to tell me, because I don't know, who was June Havoc?
June Havoc was a movie actress. She got her start once she left the vaudeville circuit, once she left the family. She got married at 13 to get away from her mom.
Wow.
She became a marathon dancer back in the 20s and early 30s, you know, when they would dance for days straight, and it was quite the rage there for a while. Then she finally got on Broadway. She starred in movies, and one of her latest credits in her career, she did the national tour of Sweeney Todd. She played Mrs. Lovett in Sweeney Todd on tour. And she just starred in lots of different things, so she became a pretty respected Broadway actress. And there's a lot of fun stories about the creation of the original show, about how Arthur Lawrence was picked to write the script, and he was trying to base this off of Gypsy Rose Lee's autobiography, a memoir. And he was having very difficult times trying to come up with the truth in the matter, and because Gypsy liked to tell a tall tale and expand on the truth. So he would ask her, now how did this actually happen? And she'd say, oh darling, just make up your own version, I did. So but June Havoc did not like the way she was being represented in the Broadway production, so she raised, you know, a stink about it and wouldn't sign off to let them use her name. So their decision was to call the character Baby Claire. And once they told her that and did that for a few performances, she relented, let them use her name, and just kind of shut up about it, and became famous, even more famous in history, because we all know Baby June from the musical Gypsy now.
Who's going to be playing the character of Rose?
Rose is played by a wonderful, wonderful performer, one of the best vocalists in our section of Central Illinois, Mary Kate Smith. She is absolutely phenomenal. She's played Fantine in Les Miserables. She's played Grisabella in Cats. She's played leads in so many shows, like Dirty Rotten Scoundrel. She played the female lead in that. And she's been in Godspell and so many great shows. But most of the time, Mary Kate kind of has played supporting characters. So this is the first time she's tackled something of this size, because the show really, you know, sits squarely on her shoulders, and she is so up to the task. She's a brilliant actress as well, and the audience is going to see just a terribly moving performance. We didn't want Rose to be just a steamroller, perhaps the way Ethel Merman might have done it. We wanted some variations and some shadings, and for her to use her sex appeal to get her way, you know, with the agents and the managers and the booking people and in the performers and the theater owners. So Mary Kate is giving a very subtle at times, but very hard driving at times performance that I think is heartbreaking in moments and thrilling in other moments. Devin DeNora is a wonderful young actress who's playing Gypsy. Devin and I first met when we did Annie together. I was Rooster, the con man, and she was one of the orphans. And now 10 years later, she's playing Gypsy Rose Lee, and she has matured into a beautiful young lady, an incredibly talented young lady, and just a wonderful singer and actress. And the scenes between her and Mary Kate as Gypsy and Rose just crackle. They are just really, really spectacular. Paul Presney Jr. is playing Herbie, the role created by Jack Klugman on Broadway and played by Carl Malden in the movie. And Cara DeWall is playing Dainty June. And these are two of my favorite people. They are just wonderful actors, wonderful singers, wonderful performers. And the whole cast is super. We have about 40 people in the cast, and they have worked so hard. We're backed up, Kevin, by a full orchestra of great Central Illinois musicians, and have a wonderful set designed by Paul Presney. I'm just so proud of this production, and I think people who love this show will really enjoy this production. That's certainly my hope.
Well, here's the first song for the show that features Mama Rose. It's called Some People. She's essentially singing about her determination to have her kids, or specifically Dainty June at this point, make it in vaudeville. And this is from the musical Gypsy, which is the gala musical presented by the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield this weekend and next. My guest here on Live and Local is the director and producer, Gus Gordon.
Anybody that stays home is dead. If I die, it won't be from sitting. It'll be from fighting to get up and get out! Some people can get a thrill from knitting sweaters and sitting still. They can stay and rot! But not wrong!
Patti LuPone in the role of Mama Rose from the musical Gypsy, the 2008 Broadway production here on Live and Local. Gypsy is the production that will open on Friday at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield for performances for 2 weekends. Gus, you said this is, the gala is meant to be a fundraiser production for you to help support daily operations for the Hoagland Center.
Exactly.
And I guess I'm kind of curious because I'm well aware, having actually music directed Gypsy once myself, how one makes money on a musical. Because usually what I hear is you just lose money on musicals.
Well, we're very fortunate. We have a lot of support in the community, and musical theater is very popular in the Springfield area. And we've had great success with a lot of our shows and wonderful success with our gala shows. We've done Chicago and Ragtime. Last year we did Man of La Mancha. We've done some big shows. We get a lot of sponsorships, Kevin, and that really is key. We get a lot of support from Edward Jones, all the local agents for Edward Jones in the area. They have been so supportive. Not only do they sponsor financially, they bring about 250 clients as a gift to their clients to come see the show. So that's one way we raise money. We have a lot of individual sponsors, just philanthropists in the community. And then we work really hard to put on a great show that garners good word of mouth, so we sell out the production. And, we produce frugally. It's a community theater, basically. And we produce frugally, but we put a lot of effort behind it. And we've had great success, and I'm very hopeful that this one will follow suit with our previous, big gala shows. And I think we can do pretty well. And the money raised does help the day-to-day operations. The Hoagland Center for the Arts is the home of 17 different resident organizations, 15 of them resident arts organizations. We also have the Junior League and an individual who rents space from us and is a resident, Mr. Mike Pittman, who is Mike Pittman Enterprises. But we have all these groups, the Springfield Theater Center, the Springfield Muni Opera, the Springfield Ballet Company, the Sangamon Valley Youth Symphony, the Sangamon Valley Community Orchestra, the Prairie Art Alliance, on and on we go. They call the building home. And in order to heat and cool and keep this 100-year-old building, former Masonic Temple, clean and heated and all those things, it just takes a lot of money operationally year-round. So the fundraiser, the gala, really helps us accomplish that goal and just puts out, good word of mouth in the community and is a goodwill gesture from us towards the community saying thank you so much for being so supportive of this organization and this building.
I remember being involved with the Sangamon Valley Youth Symphony myself, and we used to rehearse in what was the main Masonic Temple, theater space.
Right.
And I wondered, is that the space where this production will be, or is it another space in there?
It is in the main theater. It's the Levi Ray and Shupa Theater, LRS Theater, and it is where the Youth Symphony used to rehearse. They now rehearse in a different portion of the building because we usually have shows going on in the main theater. But it's a beautiful space. It's been totally renovated since the Masonic Temple days. We have a hydraulic lift pit that goes up and down to allow us access to our scene shop to build the sets so the musicians can either play on the stage if there's a symphony concert, or they can be, lowered so they're, in the pit as the performers in a musical do their thing on stage. It really is a wonderful little space, and we enjoy, having the opportunity to perform there. And again, you know what really is at the heart of the Hoagland Center for the Arts is the fact that we have so many programs for youth. We have the Sangamon Valley Youth Symphony. The Springfield Ballet Company is a amateur ballet company, although they do professional quality work with a lot of, you know, young ladies in the apprentice program and young men at the apprentice program too, for that matter. We have the Springfield Theater Center Theater Camp, and now we have our own program called the Hoagland Kids and Teens, which is a wonderful little group of about 120 kids who learn singing and dancing and theatrical, you know, backstage works, and it's just really a nice opportunity to have educational programs. And if we're doing anything here, we're giving opportunities to young people to learn, to grow, to develop that self-confidence, a nice, clean, safe place for them to do that, and that's where our gift to the community comes from, just being a place where people can come, do what they love, and then give back to the community.
Coming back to the show itself, I note that, of course, Ethel Merman was the original Rose.
Sure.
There's been a number of revivals. Angela Lansbury took that role in 1974, Tyne Daly, 1989, Bernadette Peters, 2003, Patti LuPone, most recently, in 2008.
Right.
And I wonder if you ever got to see any of these folks on Broadway yourself.
Well, I have seen, actually, several performances of Gypsy before, and very different interpretations. There is a little bit of footage out there on YouTube, and that's where I've basically seen it. I have not seen them on stage, those ladies you mentioned, except Tyne Daly. I did see Tyne Daly in New York back in the 80s. But there's a little bit of footage on YouTube of Angela Lansbury, lost footage that has been rediscovered, and it is breathtaking. She was really magnificent in the role, and it's great fun to see. There's a clip out there specifically where she is being shown this footage, and you see a split screen of her reacting to her younger self performing, and she's thrilled to death that this footage has been discovered. But there are also clips out there of Bernadette Peters and Patti LuPone, each very different and a different take on the character. You don't have to play it just like Ethel Merman. You can play it many different ways. And I remember the first time I saw Gypsy, I was in college at the University of Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music. And a young actress by the name of Diane Della Piazza was playing Rose, and she was a tiny little thing, as I recall. And at the end of Act One, she comes barreling to the front of the stage, you know, saying, "Nothing's going to stop us till we're through, and everything's coming up roses." And it was just one of those moments where the hair on the back of my neck just stood up. It was such a theatrical, such a strong moment. And I knew at the time, this is a show that I would love to do someday. If you can elicit that kind of reaction out of a 18-year-old kid, I think that's kind of a powerful thing that speaks to the power of theater.
Well, and it should be a powerful way for people to experience the Hoagland Center for the Arts, support the Hoagland Center for the Arts, and of course see a great musical. The musical Gypsy goes up on Friday, runs through Sunday this weekend, and then next Friday through Sunday as well. With performance times at, help me out here.
Friday at 8, Saturday at 8, and Sunday at 2.
Thank you very much. And if you want more information, you can get tickets at the Hoagland Center website, which is hcfta.org, hoaglandcenterforthearts.org. Gus Gordon is producer and director for this production, and it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Best of luck with the show.
Kevin, thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on today.
I had a dream about you, baby. It's gonna come true, baby. They think that we're through, but for me and for you, you can do it. All you need.
And, of course, that is Ethel Merman, the original Madame Rose, Mama Rose, rather, from the first Broadway production of Gypsy, which will be going up. Gypsy will, not the first Broadway production, at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield on Friday. This is Live and Local. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available and visits can be scheduled at 217-244-9309. You can now take WYLL and Live and Local with you anywhere you go. If you have an iPhone, iPad, or Android device, the new WYLL app is free and allows you to stream our AM and FM stations, listen to past episodes of your favorite programs on demand, and much more. For more information about how to find the WYLL radio app in the App Store or Google Play, visit our website at WYLL.illinois.edu. Erin Fesh, Peoria, the annual Irish Music Festival, and there's also games and sports and other things going on, happens this weekend at on the Peoria Riverfront, Friday through Sunday, and between the rest of today and the next 2 days, we'll be featuring various groups who are participating, including on today's program, a Scottish band called Manran, and I'll be talking with their accordion player in a matter of minutes.
Hanniki machas ne kreven, horna falta sorna sulen, so hanyele solas and re, vichemiyo. Kakuasa tavaka taike, istahaint stagade. Ahana nachmarani sad, wagen ancient ahas, sina minchi. Make me you to bra. Yao sine she yawi, to love and a killing. Scham yet the red canali, balted and love. Ahanao, Nahmara, you saw why in a ancient or has seen a minchi. Seher ma vi alu. Stache kellen en den naru, vachan jel ma lanan, seher ma vi alu.
We heard a song that is pronounced Task from The latest CD by the Scottish band called Manran, the CD called The Test, came out just a little bit ago this year. And they are coming to be among many bands playing at Aaronfest Peoria this weekend. They've got, it looks like, five performances themselves. And even though it's primarily an Irish music festival, they're one of the Scottish bands that are going to be playing. I have with me on the phone their accordion player, Gary Innes. Thanks for joining us.
Hello. How are you all doing?
Well, I'll speak for everybody, and we're all doing fine. And I'm really glad you were able to join us in the midst of your travels. Are you on an extended U.S. tour right now?
Yeah, we started in Milwaukee at the Irish Fest, and we're continuing right the way through until the 2nd of September. And then we go home for a couple of weeks, then back out west to California and Texas area for a few more shows.
So your band's not been around very long, about 3 years. You got two CDs out already. And how many, is this your first tour of the States, or have you been here before?
No, it is. It's my first tour of the United States, so we're very excited and happy to be here. And the shows have been going very well so far, so excited to be coming to Peoria this weekend.
Would you say that this is a pretty strong start in a short period of time for a Scottish band, or is this a little sort of typical of a good band's getting going?
I think we are quite lucky that we are that this doesn't happen very often, to be honest. So because of that, we feel very fortunate to be in the position that we are so early on. We basically released a song in 2011 in Scotland that did pretty well, and that was the kind of the start of the band jumping a few rungs in the ladder, so to speak, quite quickly.
What's your sense from what people tell you, what you read about the band, that might explain why you have caught on so quickly?
Well, I think from what people say and reviews and stuff, they feel the music's very, very lively. They enjoy listening to it. They enjoy watching it. Quite often people comment just how much we enjoy it. We look like we're enjoying ourselves on stage as well as the music that we're putting back as well.
I have to say that from watching various traditional Irish bands, I sometimes wonder how much they're enjoying, because sometimes I see people, they're so engrossed in the playing and the faces are completely deadpan. Certainly the videos I've able to see of you guys, that seems to be quite the contrast. You've made a point of blending a couple of different things, Gaelic and English language, but also clearly elements of the traditional Scottish music and also elements of the contemporary. You do use bass guitar, electric guitar, drums, in addition, I guess, to some traditional percussion. Was that the intention to be a blend, or did it sort of grow out of whatever your own individual backgrounds were?
No, it was intended to be that way, and the main two kind of focuses were to have the Irish Uilleann pipes and Scottish Highland pipes side by side, and to have the Gaelic language, the Scottish Gaelic language and English songs side by side as well. That kind of all put together with the kind of electric instruments that you talked about and the kind of traditional and acoustic instruments all together was the kind of the idea behind the whole band in the first place. So yeah, we kind of have set out for this sound that has materialized.
There's a lot of bands, say in the States, that have come to play traditional music of different kinds, not necessarily Celtic, where I've often gotten into conversations where most of the band members got their start as pop or rock musicians, and they became interested in things traditional. What tends to be the background for your membership? Did it mostly come from traditional background or something else?
Well, personally speaking, my background is traditional, but Ross and Scott on the backline drum and bass are very much from a very different world of jazz, rock, funk, blues, lots of different styles of music as well. So they have come to traditional music kind of later on and growing up in the kind of central belt of Scotland, then traditional music wasn't so much in their kind of or what they listened to growing up. Whereas some of the other members of the band growing up in the west coast of Scotland, then traditional music was very much something that was happening in the village halls and ceilidhs and such like every weekend. So because of that, then I think everyone brought a little something different to the band and the way they thought it should sound as well, and having no sort of preconceived ideas from the backline, as they had never really played traditional music before, man.
Well, I want to play something that is more traditional sounding from your latest album, and this is a set of jigs. How many jigs have we got in this set?
We've got four jigs.
And even though it's mainly traditional sound, there is that just I think mostly the drumming makes it sound more contemporary, at least to me. Is there another element there that I'm missing?
I would think between the drums and bass, certainly is that kind of sound that you're hearing, that accompanied with the guitar, and I think that's definitely what's giving it its kind of punch, and it's different sound than most other kind of bands that you're hearing, like the kind of talked about, or the genre of music.
Let's give a listen. This is a set of jigs by the band from Scotland called Manran. They're going to be at Aaronfesh Peoria this weekend for performances on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'll give you the full schedule coming up. My guest is Gary Innes of the band here on Live and Local. A set of jigs from the latest CD by the Scottish band Manran, who will be in Peoria this weekend for various performances at the Irish Festival there. My guest is Gary Innes, who's the accordion player with the band. Gary, what does the name of your band mean?
The name Manran is a Scottish word for a sweet tone or a melodic sound.
Okay.
So what we want to do is have a Gaelic word that could be said in English as well as Gaelic and pronounced in both languages exactly the same.
Okay, we actually had a bit of a dropout in the cell sound here, so I didn't hear what it meant again. Tell me again.
Oh, sorry, yeah, the signal was coming and going at the same time
yeah.
a little bit. Are you hearing me okay just now?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the name Manran is the Scottish Gaelic word for a sweet tone or a melodic sound. An idea was to have a word that could be said in Gaelic and English and sounded exactly the same and spelt the same, so as not to add any confusion.
Well, I'll tell you what, as a radio host who has to pronounce a lot of different kinds of names, I appreciate it. Because
oh, that's good news.
Yeah, well, I would say most of the names of your songs, I don't even know where to begin. I've sort of often joked on the show that there are a couple of languages that I don't even try to pronounce. Irish is one and Scottish is the other. I don't even know what the rules, assuming there are rules, but that's kind of neither here nor there. Well, I asked about the background of the band generally, and you mentioned a little bit that you come from a traditional background, but I'm also curious about the combination of your various activities. You have the traditional music, you play in this sort of, for lack of a better term, fusion-type band. But then you're also a firefighter, and you have to tell me, what is shinty?
Well, as many, I'm sure your listeners know from the Irish sport of hurling, well, shinty's its sister sport in Scotland. That's, I suppose, as close to field hockey, stroke lacrosse. I mean, the best way I describe it is just to check it out on YouTube. But it's 12 men on a field trying to score more goals than your opponent with sticks.
And I gather you're rather good at it, having won a bunch of medals.
Yeah, well, it's a sport, certainly, again, in Scotland, that on the West Coast, predominantly, they were kind of born and bred and kind of brought up on. So it's kind of the big sport in the area that I grew up in. So, yeah, that was how we all got into it.
How did you get started playing music yourself?
So it was just pretty much through our family members got us into music. My own influence was my dad, who played accordion. So he started teaching me at 8 years old and then went to lessons and so on. And the other lads in the band have various stories of how they started and who influenced them and why they're playing music today as well.
And did you... you've been in some other bands of the sort of that Manran is, or mostly more traditional before this one?
I would say... I wouldn't really call Manran traditional. I'd probably call it more kind of Celtic rock with traditional kind of roots, obviously. But I think people, when they hear the word traditional, they think it's something like the Corries or something like the Tannehill Weavers, and then we turn up and they get a little bit of a shock. So I would probably best describe it as, for in America certainly, as a more kind of Celtic-y rock themed band or a style band with traditional tunes and elements throughout it.
How did Manran choose its members? Was there a core of you that happened to be playing together and then invited some of invited, say, the more rock and roll types, more rock and roll jazz types, or did it come together some other way?
No, it kind of we all live in the city of Glasgow in Scotland, so we all kind of knew each other through various musical scenes and backgrounds. So when the band came together, it was a few good pals kind of got together, and we that's how they kind of got together from the start.
Is there how do you go? Well, let's see. How do I even ask this question? I'm coming back to the combination of the traditional with more of the rock sound. When you're making arrangements of the tunes or creating the compositions, do you begin with a traditional sound and then add the more contemporary beats, or is it all of a part as you're,
yeah, it's
as
all,
you're writing?
It's all of a part. When we go in and put something together, then it's all Sikthwaiz from the very start, putting their thoughts and views in and their sounds to what they think might add or might work for the sound of that song or tunes or whatever we're actually working on at that time. But very much it's collectively a band decision of how it all sounds and from the start to where it ends.
I guess I was asking partly because, to use the example of the jigs we played just a little bit ago, I could imagine stripping out the drums, substituting a more traditional drum, and it's the same music but a different sound.
Yeah, yes. It's not too far away from that at all. And I think that's why, that has that element with the full drum kit in it that makes it, sound very different, or, taken away from the very traditional sounds that you were talking about with the different style of drums.
I want to play something from your first CD, which was simply self-titled, called Manran. Came out 2011, which would have been at the end of your first year of existence. This one, if I'm saying it right, the Spey Bass Switch.
That's right, yeah.
Tell me, what does the title mean? And the beat sounds to me a little bit off-kilter, slightly.
I don't know who off-kilter is, but what that is.
Well, it's not always a straight-ahead beat. You know, there's a beat, and then there's a skip, and then there's a beat, and then...
With a push, yeah, okay. Yeah. Basically that track was put together again with four different tunes, some self-penned from the band and band members, and so to speak. But the actual last one that you're talking about, this Baby Switch itself, was Callum Stewart, a former member of the band who lived in up beside the Spey Valley in this towards the northeast of Scotland, and he composed this tune about his area and where he grew up and lived in.
So it's a set of tunes here.
Yeah, that's right.
Then from the Scottish group Manran, who will be at Aaronfest Peoria this weekend for performances all weekend long, Friday through Sunday. And this comes from their first self-titled CD from a couple of years ago. You're hearing them on Live and Local. This Baby Switch, there's a set of tunes there. That's the last one that you heard from that set from the band Monrun, who will be at Ehrenfest Peoria this weekend. My guest is Gary Innes of the band, as they're actually traveling. Where are you traveling from and to at the moment?
So we were in Chicago last night, and we're heading to Bay City in Michigan today. So we're actually just 5 minutes away from the venue, so it's all working out, quite good timing.
Okay, so we have you just for that, just a couple minutes more, and then, of course, you'll be in the Peoria coming up very, very soon. I mentioned at the outset that you're one of the Scottish bands that are at a primarily Irish festival, and you mentioned you just came from another Irish festival. Is that pretty common that Scottish and Irish mingle at their respective festivals?
Yeah, it certainly seems to be more on the... since we've been out here and lots of our pals at home go out and tour around, it seems to be quite a big thing. I'm not sure many people actually can, you know, they know the difference in some ways. I think with the two traditional styles of music are very, very similar anyway, so they both seem to work very, very well at the respective festivals.
Well, I know some purists around here who they play only Irish music or only Scottish music, and they seem to take a certain amount of offense if you suggest that they are one or the other, that they're not.
So, no, I'm not suggesting they are the same by any manner of means.
But if somebody at this festival mistakenly thanked you for the Irish music you had played,
we have an Irish member in the band from Cork, so he would be very delighted with that.
So that
he would be over the moon to take any credit for that, I'm sure.
That would be yet a third type of fusion, I suppose.
That's right, yes.
Different languages, different styles of music, and more. Well, Gary, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for joining us on the show. Tell me about this last tune we're going to go out with. I'm going to mispronounce it, and then you can pronounce it correctly and tell us what it means.
Go on.
Here we go. Dienen Sugrat.
Perfect.
Really?
Absolutely perfect.
What does it mean?
It means I would sport.
What kind of sport?
I would sport with the brown-haired girl as the Gaelic for it.
Ah, okay, fair enough. And we should say that the singer we've been hearing, and will hear on this one, is the guitarist in the band, Norrie McKeever. The other band members, fiddler Ewan Henderson, drummer Scott Mackay, let's see, the Ilan Piper, Ryan Murphy. And does he also play flute and sax with the band sometimes?
Yes.
And then Ross Saunders is the bass player. Have I missed anybody?
That's it. Absolutely perfect.
And Gary Innes on accordion. Monrun will be at the North Stage in Peoria Friday night at 8, Saturday at the Snug at 4:45, and a back on the North Stage at 8, and then Sunday on the North Stage at 2:15. No reason for you to miss them. For more information, go to monrun.co.uk. That's M-A-N-R-A-N. Here they are from their latest CD, The Test, on Live and Local.
Rybka, pojmy swe, to rijenin, sekreniszyn, nie te czego wyli, ja se babin.
Our program today on Live and Local is made possible by Sinfonietta Camera, introducing their 30th season with a gala celebration on Sunday, September 15th at 6 p.m. in the Krannert Center lobby. The evening will feature music, dancing, dinner, and a live auction. More information is available at the Sinfonia office, 217-244-4350. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL-FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR, classical music, and more for Central Illinois. We're a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois.